The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
All right. Well, if you have a nursery age child or a preschool child, and even kids that are the age 6, they can go to the preschool room right now. So, yay. And if you aren't, then if you're a kid, then I want you to stand up and get your wiggles out. Kids, all right. Maybe everybody needs to stand up. Everyone stand up and do a little wiggles out. Because it's hard for kids sometimes to sit a long time. So this is a family service, so we're going to do things a little more loose. So, you know, so hang in there with us if you're new, okay? This church is not always like this. This is just a family Sunday where the kids stay in. So, okay, did you get your wiggles? All right. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I want to stress that. Isn't it wonderful, though, that you can see kids in the service? I love that. And I love that sometimes we have a whole service for them. You know, a lot of churches just have the kids go straight to their nurseries, straight to their, you know, their designated areas. But then the church, the body, doesn't get to know them. Like, I've come to this church for a long time, and now I know young adults that I used to know as kids. And I love that. I love that because it just builds this whole family feeling, the family foundation that the church should be. So I just love that, and I love that we can all be here together. And so because of that, we're going to do a few things that are more kid-related. And if you're new here, come back some other time because it's not always like this. It's not always this way. So just want to get that out. So.
Well, we just want to open in prayer. And, you know, it's so cool that the Holy Spirit's just preaching our message over here, too, with blessing on there. So, Lord, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue your message, Lord. Amen. Continue your message to the body. Continue your message, Lord. And I pray for a blessing for everyone here and everyone that hears, Lord, and just speak to them today, Lord, in a wonderful way. We just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So I've been really aware of the word that we use in our church a lot, of blessing. And that's what we're speaking about. But I was just like really tuning into it today that we as a church speak and do a lot of blessing already. So I want to, this is going to be an easy Sunday because you guys are already walking and doing this. So just, you can just relax and go, oh yeah, I do that. You can just relax on it. But anyway, we're going to talk about purposeful blessing, actually planning to speak out purposefully blessings on others. And what got us going on this, because we kind of have done this before, we've kind of walked in that, but we can do it more, and that's what God's been working in us. So we just want to share that with you, some of the things that God's been doing. So a few weeks ago, I was talking to Jim, and I was having, maybe you have some of these parent talks, you know, where you talk about your kids, and I was just saying, you know, I love our boys, and they're doing a great job, and they're serving the Lord in their jobs, but I just wish that they would make more money. I wish they were making more money, because I want them to be able to provide for their families, and really it was a concern thing, but it wasn't really speaking blessing over them. It was more like, I'm really kind of worried about them. And, you know, then I did the other parent thing you should never do. It's like, maybe I should have. You know, maybe I should have done this or made a college fund. Or maybe I should have, you know. And then Jim says, well, I'm just going to believe for promotion. And it's like, yeah, you're right. And so it was like this awe moment. And we just started speaking it out, blessings over them. And we were just like, Lord, we just pray for promotions. We pray for blessings and perks and financial
with favor with the
favor
bosses, favor and
on them.
Blessings on them. Yeah,
we were having a great time.
They were nowhere around anyway, no. But it went out.
But we did something in the spirit. And so 2 weeks later, we get these calls from both of our sons. We've got interviews, Mom, Dad. Will you pray for us? We got interviews. And so our son got our one son who has always had his heart just to serve God in worship and to lead worship. You know, he's had other jobs come along. It's like, yeah, but it's not my heart. I want to do this. And of course, when I was a young mom, that's all I said. Just serve God. That's all I want is my children to follow God and serve God and follow your dreams. You know, and then you get to a point where like, you know, maybe I should. Maybe I led them the wrong way. But you know what? God gave them a full-time job serving and worship as a worship leader. And it's enough. It's a job that will be enough to support a family. And we're just like, Thank you, Jesus. You answer. This is it. Within 2 weeks of our prayer. And then our other son, you know, he's been trying for this promotion of this next level and hasn't been able to get it. And all of a sudden, all the management quit. They just
or retired.
Quit. Retired. No, they quit.
Oh, okay.
They quit, moved on. They were upset. And so he just moved right up into this management position that has another level that we're just believing that he'll move up another level into. That's going to be opening up. So it was like, wow, you know. And then our daughter-in-law calls. And she was approached by her previous management, and they're like, yeah, we would really like you back, and we would really like, you know, we're going to give you this and this and this and this. And then she told me the other day, oh, it's kind of a big deal. I forgot to tell you, but I'm an assistant manager now. So she just moved right up in this promotion. Now, our other daughter called and said, oh, yeah, I just got these, you know, starts telling us these new perks and these raises she had, and was like, we were just like, wow. This works. Why are we not doing this more often? And that's why we wanted to share that with you, that you can say purposeful blessings that are prophetic in nature, that actually are more than just words. And we want to just take a moment to show you in the Bible that are that we were called to use our words to be prophetic. Okay, so.
Well, I think we're going to start off with James.
I missed that, didn't I? Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to start off with James 3. I'm sorry, I should have had a marker in that, and I know I did earlier. But is it right up that? Is it up there? Okay, well, there I go. How do you like that? But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. James 3:8. But it goes, therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therefore we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. That's James 3:9. And James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not to be so. It says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither a vine figs? So can no man yield salt water and fresh. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show by a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. And the thing that jumped out to me most is that, you know, it's not talking about curses. We're not talking about, like, the devil, the devil's curses and witchcraft and stuff. Although them are just words that they put together to curse people. You know, but there's so much power in the word. It said that we bless men, or we bless God, but we curse men. And they're made just, if you go back to Genesis in there, it says, let us make man in our own image, you know, and in our likeness too. Let's make them like us. And so it really jumped out to me that in the image of God, that we sometimes speak curses to people and sometimes speak curses to ourselves. Like Josh was saying, you know, that was a curse for her to say the things about herself. It's a curse for us. And you know what? It says the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We all know what that is. Sometimes you'd like to maybe go, maybe I should go back outside again. Or maybe I should take a nap or something. This thing is getting out of hand, you know, or whatever. But it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison sometimes. But early on in that chapter 3, it says, who's a perfect man? And it was able to bridle a whole body. Let him get a hold of his tongue, you know. So
we will be talking about that. And Jim, by the way, has gotten really good at that when we fight. He just... He knows I'm a woman of many words. So he's just learned, okay, if you don't put fire on the wood, the fire goes out. And that's from Proverbs. But I know that that's something like if you're in an argument, you want to just, you know, put a stop in your mouth. Because sometimes we say things that we really don't want to say and they hurt. And later on you have to go back and go, I wish I hadn't said that. So we kind of jumped ahead there for a second.
Yeah, because we don't want to, we didn't want to really focus on the curses, but they're there. We want to focus on the blessing, intentionally blessing people.
And also, first we wanted to just go, so we're just a little ahead, so now can you zoom back? And we're going to go back to, but we wanted to show you how the Word of God, how we're created in God's image. The Bible says that in Genesis, you know, that, you know, when God created it, he said, let there be light. And he did that with his words. He didn't, you know, didn't say he mold, you know, he did mold man. But, you know, it was with his words, let there be light. And because we're created in God's image, that is the same with us. We can use our words to create things, to create an atmosphere, to create a blessing with our words. Also, Jesus did that too with the story of the centurion.
Yeah, and the centurion, he said, my servant has the palsy and he's sick. And Jesus said, okay, I'll go with him. I'll go with you over there. He said, no, I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof, he said. But he said, you just speak the words. Just speak the words to him and my servant will be healed. You know, sometimes that's... that needs to be spoken out there. Yeah. And we're made like daddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're made like our dad. We're made in his image, you know? So we need to speak those things out, those blessings over people, those healing over people in different things.
Even in John 14:12, it says, verily, verily, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. This is Jesus saying this. Do the works Jesus has been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. So if Jesus speaks the word out and Jesus is inside of us, then we can speak words out that are supernatural. Isn't that like a mind blower? Like, what? I can say a word and it's supernatural, but when it has the faith and the hope and the unction of the Holy Spirit in us speaking out, yes, it's supernatural. And our curses can be the same way. Yeah. You know, we can drive curses on people as well as blessing.
And Jesus says, go get them, you guys. Go get them. Get out there, you know. The things that I'm doing, I want you to do, and you go do it. Do the things. Speak the words. Speak life and blessings. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Oh, that is such a true thing, isn't it? That so much that Jesus would say that every idle word that men would speak, that they would be judged. How powerful are words? How powerful you can build up or you can tear down. It's just amazing with the power behind the words. I'll get this, Hill.
Okay. So we need 8 kids to come up, and they need to be 8 years and older. And I just come on up. The first 8 that get a thing of pudding. Oh, you have to be able to handle pudding. Okay, they're all coming. No, it's not pudding sucking. We've done that before. But okay, everyone, grab a pudding. I only have 8, so then if you don't get a pudding, you'll have to do something next time.
2 more.
Okay.
1 more.
Oh, boy.
All right. You're putting me on, you guys.
Okay.
Okay. Forget
it. Oh, there's 1 more. Who's going to run and grab it? Preston, you want it? 1 more. I'm setting it here for the brave soul that comes and grabs it.
And if no one takes it, I'm going to eat it.
Okay. No. To go with this.
There he is. He came up.
All
right. Oh, yay, our brave soul. Get a spoon, and there's your pudding.
Go pudding, so.
Okay. Okay. We got our hand waves. Okay, are we ready for this? Okay, so while I'm talking about some curses, I want you guys to think of some bad things maybe that were said to you or maybe that you've said to somebody else, kind of like a negative. And I'll give you some ideas as I'm talking, okay? All right, so what we think of, like Jim was saying earlier, we think like a curse, and instantly we think of that witch and that brew. And what does that witch say? You know, some potion bubbles and snails and, you know, all the things. That's what comes in our mind. And we would never, ever, ever think that we would say a curse. No, we're Christians. We're God. But, you know, our words, a curse is something that hurts somebody, something that
it's a negative,
injures a person. And so now I think we could probably all say, and I won't make you raise your hands, but we could all say, I have said a curse. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we are cursing daily and not even realizing it. That's the sad part. A lot of times it's in our families and we're not even realizing it. And a lot of times we're actually cursing ourselves.
Yeah, that's
the sad part. How many times have you looked in the mirror and said, oh, I'm really ugly? Or I'm fat? Or I'm... You don't even have to look in your mirror. Or I'm stupid. Or I'm lazy. Or I procrastinate. I did it again. You know, don't you all? We all have our areas that we speak against ourselves. And every time you do, you're putting a curse on yourself. You're actually speaking death to yourself with your own words. And how do you become the person that you want to be when you keep speaking negative? You know, if I keep telling myself I'm stupid, then am I all of a sudden going to do something smart? No, probably not, because what am I believing? You know, I'm seeing myself, no, I'm stupid. I'm not going to say anything. I don't know what to say. I'm not smart. You know what? Do you see what I'm saying? If you're always seeing, you know, like the poor anorexic person, every time they look in the mirror, they can't see themselves the way they are. They always see themselves fat because they've so conditioned, they've so cursed themselves with that, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, that even when they're super thin, they still can't see it. Aren't we that way? Maybe you're looking in the mirror, seeing yourself one way when you're totally not that way. And you have someone else come and speaking in your life all the time saying, why do you say that? Jim does that to me. Why do you say that? That's just not you. You know, he's always building me up. So, and that's what we need to do as family, is build up, not curse.
We're speaking to a bunch of people that bless everybody. I know that. But you know, I heard one time a four-year-old come up to me and said, you know, I can't do anything right. He said, I can't do anything right. But he got it from somewhere. And he started believing that in just like the girl that Josh was talking to. She believed it. Maybe somebody told her something like that. And she believed it. But you guys don't have to believe that stuff.
No,
because it's not true. It's a lie.
Sometimes as parents, you know, I know we have six kids if you don't know us. And I know I started off like, I am going to do everything right. You know, I read every parenting book. And, you know, I was just set. I'm going to have the most obedient kids. I'm going to just, everything was just like, you know, of course, then, you know, you get into it and you're like, oh, and I remember just going, oh my gosh. But, you know, we started off with disciplining in the wrong, kind of the wrong way, you know, and it was like, this is terrible. You'd be like, okay, you just wait till your dad comes home. You're going to get spanked. And you think back, oh my gosh, now my poor little kid's going to walk around all day. And what did I instill? Fear of their father.
Yeah.
You know? And we don't want to discipline our kids with fear. We don't want to make them obey us because they're afraid of us.
And also shame, too. I think I was raised with shame, you know, make me feel real bad about myself for this. And, you know, we all love our parents and we loved them. But maybe they didn't, and maybe we don't do everything right. You know, in disciplining and in the way we do correction. But the Bible's here to show us the right way on that.
Maybe even as a kid you were told some of these things, but or like, okay, you know, this is sometimes you have a child that's not doing what you want them to do. You know, you'll say, don't be so lazy. Get your lazy butt off that couch and get down there and clean your room. You know, well, what did you just say? You know, yes, you're motivating. You think you're just teaching your kids to be diligent and to clean. But really, what did you say? You put in their mind, I'm lazy. That's what they're going to get out of that statement. Or be quiet. Stop being so loud. Be quiet. Well, you know, what are you putting in that child? I'm just loud. Nobody wants to hear me. I need to be quiet. Oh, here's another one. I did this when I had a daughter who was timid and shy in the beginning. And I coddled that. When we go to the nurse, oh, she's shy. Well, the whole family was like, oh, she's shy. They all talked for this, for the one daughter in my family, because she was shy. And we just, instead of bringing her out and saying, no, you're not. You're beautiful. You have good things to say. We want to hear what you say. We were just like, oh, well, she doesn't talk much. Oh, she's shy. You know, we didn't see it, but we reinforced the very thing that we didn't want to see. Without realizing it, thinking we were protecting her. Or how about kids? Sometimes you can be so hard on your brothers and sisters. You're mad at them. Oh my gosh! And what comes out of your mouth? You dummy! I'm not. This is mine. I'm not going to share that with you. You're. you stinker, you idiot, you know, and even kids, your words are as powerful because who do you have inside of you? Same one, Jesus, inside of you. So we know, everyone gets this. Oh, here's one other one that happens with little kids. Are you going to be a naughty kid? Don't you be naughty. I want you to be a good boy. Well, what are you going to be? I want you to be. You be a good girl now. I'm going to leave you here. But don't you be naughty. And so what did this poor little kid get inside of them? They're thinking, oh, I'm naughty. And after a while, they're thinking, they start acting naughty because they're thinking, you know what? I'm a naughty kid. I just must be naughty. You know, so that's what, and all of these things we say as parents, did we say them as bad? No, we just want our kids to obey, and we don't want them to embarrass us. I've been there. So we said some words, and now this is our mirror. This is kind of like the image that God has for us. If you look at it, you can see that God, this is how God sees you, and it's clear, and it's wonderful, and it's you, and you are so amazing and beautiful. But when we have a curse, we actually, yes, you got the idea. So take the top off and tell me something that could hurt somebody, something that would be a curse. Do you have something? Yeah, you can come up with a name. You don't have to say you've used it before, but maybe you have. What's a mean thing someone could say?
Idiot.
Idiot. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
okay, you're good. You can set that right in there, and if you need a wipe right here, and then you can go back to your seat. Okay, you can set
that. You can eat the rest of it if you'd like to.
But you better sit right there on the step and not get any mess, because we just clean the church. Okay, the next pudding swapper needs to go closer.
You know, I said, why don't we use vanilla?
I said, because you need to see it. Okay, what's a good word? Yeah, you can hear it.
Not wasting any.
Don't waste any. Well, little.
Retard.
Retard. Oh, yeah. That's awful. Retard's off. You're going to use your spoon. Okay, next. Did they use up one of yours? Uh-oh. Step right up here on there and make sure you're on the plastic when you do some sling in there.
Yeah, right.
Oh, what is your word?
A jerk.
A jerk. These guys are coming up with really good words. I forgot. How many times have you said, you jerk? Okay, come on. Yes. You're good. Okay. Are you ready to stand right here? Uh-oh, don't get your socks with pudding.
Dummy.
Oh! That was good. Okay. Sit right there and be super careful. We weren't going to do... You don't want to eat. Okay. All right. Oh, she's thinking hard. Want more time to discuss it? Okay, come on. Okay, what do you think, Paul? What's something somebody says, or what's a bad belief that somebody might have about themselves?
He says wimp.
A wimp!
That maybe some people would call you wimp.
Yeah, you can get really bullied sometimes and be called a wimp.
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh.
And it doesn't feel good to be called names, does it?
You can just put it right in the bowl if you don't want it. Okay, you got a good one, I can see. You're ready.
Nerd.
A nerd.
Ooh.
Oh, isn't that sad when people call kids nerds? These classifications we put kids in, it's awful. Or maybe even now as adults, nerd. Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to look like pudding. All right. Okay.
A jerk.
Okay. Yeah, whoa.
Ooh. Yeah, keep it on the mirror if you can.
Yeah, please. Okay.
Stupid.
You know, that's one that I really dealt with a lot in my life. Feeling stupid.
Ooh.
Nice shot. Okay. All right, we got them out there. You guys can finish that pudding and head back. Thank you.
In Frobbers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's finished. Can I do one more thing?
Okay. All right.
So now when you look at this mirror, you probably put all these on you, or other people have put them on you, even as a little child, unknowingly sometimes, and sometimes because you just were around a hurtful person. And how do you see yourself now when you look in that mirror? You are colored. Your eyes are colored now, how you see yourself, because of the curses that have been on you. And you know what? Just break those curses. You don't have to live under those curses anymore. When you have that curseful thought come back to you, I'm stupid or I'm fat, you just speak out a blessing over yourself. It's not true. I am so intelligent. I'm going to have a great morning today, and I'm going to speak into people's lives. You know, you can just start speaking out those blessings, reinforcing yourself. Use your words. You can talk to yourself. I'm a little worried about my... Maybe we should put this somewhere else.
All right, okay. But in Proverbs 6:2, it says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." It's like we get ensnared by them. Oh, good.
All right. Even our culture... I just want to caution you just a tad, because our culture is a little bit like that, where a little cut down is considered humor. Do you know what I'm talking about? Especially with the teens, it's like you just have these little tiny cut downs that make you look like a dummy, and it's considered humor. And then everybody laughs, and then I guess you laugh with it, because what are you supposed to do? Cry? You know, so you get kind of used to that. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to agree with that. So be very careful, because it's kind of our culture. You know, sometimes some families just sit and cut each other down or sit and cut other people down, and they think that that's just the way it should be. We have to change that. Brothers, it should not be so, like that verse said.
Yeah, have you noticed some fountains of people? Some people's fountain is so clear and wonderful, you just like to be by them, because all they do is... put blessing on you, and they just have only good things to say. And when you get next to one of them fountains, it's just a beautiful thing, isn't it? It just is.
Sometimes you can turn your words. Maybe you're in that situation where you think, yeah, but how am I going to discipline my kids? How do I get, you know, there's that idea. Well, I want them to obey me, you know. But sometimes what you can do is turn your words around so you're not, so you're speaking a blessing and a teaching rather than a curse and a shaming. Like, when you start knowing you're going to preach, you start thinking more about it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try this out. Maybe that's true. So I was with my grandkids, and I said, you know, they started the bickering like kids do. And I said, oh, kids, I know you guys are such good kids. And I know you know how not to argue. Would you please stop? And they just were like, I literally saw their little mouths go. Oh, and you know what? I didn't have fighting the rest of the night. Just like, you know what? It changed the atmosphere. And what did I do instead of speaking negative and adding to the fire, you know, putting more wood on the fire? Instead, I just spoke a blessing, and they loved it. Oh, another thing I like to do. This is sneaky, but you know, the kids have, you know, I love to go listen to my grandkids say their prayers at night. And then afterwards, I love to just pray this, a prayer of blessing on them, you know, and I just like go on and on. Like, Lord, I just pray you make them the fastest boy on the basketball team, that he just hits those spots. And, you know, and then with my daughter, with the granddaughter is like, Lord, just pour out that creativity in her, and Lord, bless her in her art class. And, you know, and then funny thing is a couple times I forgot to pray, and they'd be like, wait, grandma, aren't you going to pray? Because they were waiting. You know, children wait for that blessing. You know, all they want from us is their acceptance.
There was, in Genesis, there was a battle between Jacob and Esau, fighting for their dad's blessing. And you know, we all kind of fight for our dad's blessing. It seems like that's a thing that people do. They all want dad's blessing. They all want to see dad somehow, see what I did, dad. You know, and this was a case where he was deceived by his brother Esau, and he ended up getting the blessing, as you know the story, about putting the fur on his hands and getting the blessing from his brother on there. And so his dad thinks, Isaac thinks that, are you sure you're Jacob and not Esau, you know? Okay, well, you get the blessing. And he says over him, and he came near to him and kissed him and smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see the smell of my son. It's the smell of the field the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty and the corn and wine. Let the people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over the brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed is everyone that curses you, and blessed be everyone that blessed you. Well, Esau got very mad when he came back and found out that he did it, you know, that he had stolen his blessing. He said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And then Rebekah had found out, oh, we got to get him out of the land, you know. We got to get out because he did. But he said, now bless me, Father. Come on, bless me, because, you know, you can do this, Dad. He said, no, the words that I have already spoken, you know, the words that I already spoke, I can't take them back. You know, sometimes you just can't take them words back. You can maybe make up. And he blessed him with a good blessing. But he couldn't say that, you know, you're not going to be under your brother's hands. But later on, he did say that the yoke would be broke off your neck, Esau, from it. But he said he hated his dad's blessing then. And he went out and got a wife from Ishmael, so because he wasn't happy with his parents. But so I was thinking about that, about blessing my own children that way and speaking over them. And Shekinah had happened to be there, you know, and I don't know if I had to pay for that or not, because you said if I speak about my children and name them or not. But anyway, really, there it is.
No, she's not here.
Really. But you know what? We can speak over our children, young and old. It doesn't matter. We don't have to wait till we're on our deathbed to speak over them the blessing of the Lord. And I know my daughter more than most people or anybody. You know, I know her sweetness, her love. So I can speak a blessing over her because I know her heart. I know her thing. And I just spoke over a blessing over her that would be just wonderful for her life. And you know what? It was a loaded blessing. I have faith to believe that that thing is going to happen to her, that those things that are coming out of my mouth are the very things that she's going to see in her life. You know, I want to do that for all of my kids, but we do bless them all the time. But, I mean, just a real purposeful blessing over them. It doesn't matter how old they are. You know, they just love you, and to speak blessings with power, loaded blessings. You know, it says, if you shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe the things that you say shall come to pass, they will come to pass. You know, or that God says, you know, like Daddy says, he calls the things which aren't as though they are. You know what? Sometimes we want to speak blessings over people that don't, you know, they don't have it. You know, they don't have, they have curses on their life. They've been cursed all their lives, you know, but to speak a blessing over our dad says, he calls things that aren't as though they are, you know, he calls out things into our lives. And that's what we do. And that's what we want to speak over our families, over our children. And we love it when they speak over us blessings, too. Good
word. Yeah. In fact, kids, you can bless your parents. You can speak faithful blessings, all you kids, to your parents. Think about what if your mom do if you came out and said, Mom, I just bless you today, and I pray that you have free time. That you have some special time to yourself.
Right.
Wouldn't your mom just be
and look at the moms open their mouth like
the moms
free
are
time.
Like, that is a good blessing. Yeah. Well, what if you said that to your dad, Lord, I just thank you for all the hard work you do, and Mom, the hard work you do, but Dad, the hard work you do, and I just pray a blessing on you and the work that you do at your job, that it goes easy. Kids, you can do that because you have that same Jesus in you, that you can start speaking life into your family. You can start speaking life into your little brother. Instead of saying, don't be so stupid, you can say, you know, you are really a smart little guy.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that.
What if you said that to your little brother all the time? You are really smart. You know what? Oof. You are really, really smart. I wonder what would happen.
Yeah, when you're speaking, if you don't know what you're speaking, life or death in your tongue, you can tell sometimes by their response. You know, if it's life or death, you can see it in their face.
Even clerks are taught. You know, this is so powerful that it's a selling tool.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. How many times do you go to Walmart? How many times do you get told, have a nice day? I kind of like it. I walk away sometimes feeling like, oh, thanks. You know, I like to take that as an example, because if they're going to bless me, then they open themselves up to get a blessing back. So I love to just give them eye contact and just go, yes, you just have a blessed day. How long is your work shift? Well, I hope you have a wonderful, blessed time afterwards. You know, they're just shocked.
What a principle, too, that's been taught to our merchants.
Yes.
That, you know, there's not a merchant in the United States or around us that they won't tell their people. You bless the people that are leaving. You say, have a nice day. Have a great day. Have a wonderful day. You know, there's not a merchant that wouldn't do it. What a principle that they speak. You know, they probably speak it because they want their customers to come back, you know, and whatever. But how wonderful it still is. I still feel good if somebody tells me to have a good day. I still feel good about it.
So who else are we supposed to bless? Here's a hard one. We are even told to bless our enemies.
Yeah, bless those that curse you. Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? People that hurt us. People that hurt us and do bad things to us, ooh, it's hard. Me and Hillary have this kind of clenched prayer kind of thing. I bless you. But it gets easier, you know. It's just like, I bless you in the name of the Lord, you know.
I had to use that a month ago, and it was hard because I did not want to forgive that person. I wanted to do evil to that person. Just being honest with you, I said things I should not have said, and then I clenched my teeth, because we were talking about this, thank goodness. I clenched my teeth, and I had to say, I bless this person. I didn't want God to bless him. I really wanted him to hurt him. But I bless this person. And you know what? Over the days, I'm getting to the place now where I don't have to clench my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But that when I first did it, it was a step of obedience. It wasn't in my heart. And it's growing in my heart. It's growing in my heart. As I keep taking that obedience and I'm blessing him, I'm praying, I'm thinking about he has a mama too that loves him.
Yeah.
That spoke to my heart. Oh, yeah. Okay, I just bless this person. God, you love him. And you weren't talking about
some of these people that have been cursed, that are cursing you, oh, all they've had is that. And they just didn't curse you and hurt you. They hurt everybody they go around to. They need a blessing. They need your help. It says that we did communion this morning. It said when we did the communion, it was about Jesus, and he said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet hated, God, he went out and did something most wonderful for us. He went and died for us. Or even on the cross with his last breath, hardly being able to breathe, hardly being able to talk, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't know that these people that are cursing are hurting themselves over and over and over again, hurting the people all around them. So we need to bless them. That's the only change that's going to happen.
Come on.
You know, that's the only thing, is if we speak out over into their lives. You know, that something's going to happen, and Jesus knew it.
So if you are sitting in the audience today, and you have somebody that you need to forgive, that you have said, I'm not going to forgive them, that is only hurting you. And what happens is if you let that sit in there, it doesn't get easier. You're going to grow a root of bitterness. And that's going to be like, have you ever tried to pull out a tree?
Oh, yeah. Me and my neighbor were out the other day because I had a little root. The tree was only about that big around. But the root was down in there, and we tied a chain to it in his four-wheel truck, dive truck, and it's a new truck. He could barely get that thing out, and it's only a little tree like that, but he could barely pull the root out of there. Finally, with all the power that nice, brand-new truck could do, it pulled it right out of there. But the root was, like, way down. They go down deep in the roots, and that's just a little tree. Can you imagine a huge tree?
So today, I want to encourage anybody here that feels like there's someone they can't forgive to take that clenched prayer. Even if you don't have to feel it, but you just have to obey and take that step. Because sometimes some of us have been hurt very deeply, and it's very hard to think anything positive towards somebody that's hurt us. But take that take that step and do it, because it's so worth it to not have a big old tree growing inside of you. Bitterness. All right, we're going to skip that this spot, Jim.
Okay.
Because of time. Okay, so, you know, we also want to very quickly say that you can use your words to even change the situation you're in, which is so exciting, isn't it? You're in a bad situation, start using your words to change it.
Mm-hmm. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Come on, I know you feel weak.
Yeah.
No doubt,
yeah.
I know you feel weak. There's none, but it says to say something different. To claim something different than that. Because I think if you keep claiming you're weak, there's nothing going to happen, but you're going to get maybe weaker from it. In whatever you're claiming in that sense.
I started saying, because I sometimes worry, but I'm getting so good at it. And I were like, oh, I'm going to have enough of these, blah, 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 blah. And so I started saying, God always provides for my needs. And then one time I was worrying, and I said, wait a minute, oh yeah, God always provides for my needs. And you know, I get to the end of the month, and I'm looking, I'm like, wow, how did we ever pay for all this? You know, and then I start going, you know what, this works so good. I'm going to add a word. God always provides for my, no, God always abundantly provides for all my needs above and beyond. And so, you know, and I'm just speaking it out. It's so much joy where there used to be, worry and fear. Now it's like, oh yeah, I don't have to worry. And a little job will come along, or he always, and sometimes like, oh, I don't want to go work, but he did provide the job. I'm going to need it. So it's so, God is so amazing. We can speak into these things that are troubling you, and speak into the situation. We had a situation. We really like to vacation. I'm going to make this very quick, but we really like to vacation. And this year I came to Jim and said, nope, not going to happen. The person that, it's like everything was a no. The person that that subs for me can't sub. There's nobody to work for me. I can't leave my job. The person who watches my dog came back and said, not watching your dog anymore. She was naughty. But and I'm just so, this is starting to mount up, you know. And then we were looking at our car, which really, it had a lot of miles.
240,000 miles on it.
240,000 miles on it. We're like, you know, that isn't really, we really shouldn't be putting miles on this car that, you know, it's time for a new one. We don't have the money to do that. We didn't have the money for the trip. And then God was speaking to Jim.
Yeah, I remember him saying to me, I can make a way where there's no way. Sometimes like the Red Sea, you get trapped up against the Red Sea with the enemy behind you. But he said, I can make a way where there is no way. So if you see where there's no way, hey, there's still hope, you know. There's still hope because there's no way. God can make a way. He can clear it all out. So there might be something in you that you're going through and you say, there's no way out. And you know what? I knew there's no way out. But God, he made a way for everything. He can blow on it or whatever he does.
Not only did he know that, I reminded him.
And change
I come home
it.
And go, oh, look at this fun place in Florida. Nope, didn't you get it? And then I remind him over and over, remember this, we can't do it. But God made a way.
The lady lost her job.
She lost her, which was a good thing. It was a bad job for her. And she was like, I'd love to sub for you. I would love to have those hours. I would love to watch your dog. I was like, oh, I was so happy.
And she got fired. I remember a guy down at work. But you know what? Oh, thank God she got fired. Because Hillary worked for the same lady and it wasn't easy for her.
Careful. All right.
Okay, but anyway.
At least I said.
When I was at work, there was this young Muslim guy that came up to me and we got to be friends. And he told me that his wife couldn't come over here. He said, she can't go over. I've written the governor, and I've written all the people, and she can't go over. There's somebody over there that says she lied and said that she didn't have any kids, and she did have kids, so they said, you'll never get to go over there. You know, so she did that. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just put on my heart to tell him, wait, I know somebody above the governor. I have a relationship with somebody higher than the, and he said, well, what's that? I said, God. I'll pray that God brings her over here. You know, that God would bring her back over here. So I didn't think anything of it, because the Lord put on my heart to say, no, tell him you know somebody bigger than the governor. And he said, I was thinking about writing the president. You know? So then a couple weeks later, he just came up to me and said, You don't believe. He said the lady that does the visas over there, she got fired. And somebody else got in there and said, yeah, you can go. You can take your kids over there and fill it all out. And he said, she's coming next week with the kids or something, you know? So God can make ways where there's no ways, and it can look like there's no way.
If your circumstance is looking kind of bad, start speaking blessing into it. Start pouring your blessings on it. Speak into it.
Yeah, speak out those blessings everywhere where you go. Speak out things in people's lives that you know they don't have. And speak out blessings. Go wherever you are. Let that fountain just burst free with it, you know? It's going to bring life to people. It's going to bring hope to people. It's going to bring good things.
There's one other thing you can do. You can prophesy blessing into the atmosphere.
Yeah, Jesus said, go into a place. When you come into the place, say, peace be in this place.
Yes.
Go right in. Peace be in this atmosphere. Just go in there.
Isn't that something you want in your homes? You can start prophesying, I want peace in my homes. Lord, I pray for peace to be in my home. I pray when people peace come into my home, they feel your presence. Mm-hmm. You know, we pray that on Thursdays here in the church, that there would be your presence, that peace would be here, that you guys would feel something when you come in. Mm-hmm. Do you feel it sometimes when you come into the church? Come in all stressed, then you walk in, it's like, whew. You can prophesy peace and blessing in an atmosphere.
I can't believe Thursday we had prayer right here. And I think it was Marianne, because I had my eyes closed, and she was praying, and they grabbed our feet and said, happy feet. She said, happy feet. You know what? I don't know. You know, be creative with your blessings and prayers. But I have the happiest feet right now, and I don't know how to explain that. I know, my feet are very, very happy. I don't know. But so you can be creative with your blessings and everything. Because I have happy feet. I know
this it. This morning he took his socks, and we're bouncing them on top of my head. Happy feet. Happy feet.
I just said my feet are really happy.
Oh, we can prophesy wonderful things into the air with purposeful blessings. You can write down what your blessings so you don't forget. So I'm going to do just a quick review what we talked about.
Should we go on to the last thing then? The
open blessing?
Yeah, the golden rule.
No, because we don't.
Oh, okay. You know what? But we do want to say, if you're having a time, though, I do want to say that.
Okay, you say.
If you're having a time on how to think, how you want to bless people and different things, I have something here.
Oh, you want me to do this? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it. We just won't do it as a minute.
I don't know if that's coming up.
Is it coming through?
Yeah. We have the golden rule. If you're having a hard time figuring out how to bless someone, if you're figuring out how a hard time to speak something into something life, someone's life, we have the golden rule. And we want you to say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus said, that's all the law and the prophets. Just go do that, and you'll be doing good.
All right, so purposefully go and bless yourself, and purposefully bless your family. Purposely bless your enemies and everyone you're around. Purposely write and bless your circumstances, and purposefully bless the atmosphere that's around you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Back to you, Dave.
That was so good. Thank you, guys. We're going to have prayer teams up here to bless you. I'll bet you they'll really know how to bless you. If you need prayer for anything, if you need healing, if you need somebody to stand. Yeah, Jim and Hillary would be up here too. And if you just need a good dose of joy, how many would like to be doused with a dose of joy? Sorry. I'm just not getting this. Let's stand together. Oh, I want to remind you, there is a taco bar. It is a fundraiser for the youth to send youth to camp. Come on and hang out, and just encourage you to be generous to the youth. Oh, Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this congregation. I bless this body of believers. Lord, we do release just the blessing of the Lord, Father, your favor, your goodness, your joy, your peace, everything that's in the kingdom of God. Father, we release it upon this body as we go out, God, that we would be a blessing to others. Oh, God, there's so much cursing going on in the world right now. Let us be those that look differently, that talk differently, that believe differently. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.